Amen. Let's start good old songs. Like we enter communion, as we enter, amen, key E. I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood for me. Two sides. Lord, we just want to offer ourselves on sacrifice. Lord, you come and speak to us once again, O Lord. Cut everything what is not needed in us, O Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands even now, O Lord, while we sing these songs and we pray our prayers, O Lord, while we do whatever we do, O Lord, that we will be perfect sacrifice for you, that everything will be pleasant to you even this evening, O Lord. We e come dava is into your hands whatever will be said and done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We have two songs. So it's Ruth and Sister Kim. So maybe we can sing small chorus. It's that one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And things of this world will become dim. Amen. What a grace to look fully in his face. Maybe E. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. After this song, Ruth, if you come
forward. In his wonderful face and the tears of this world will grow strangely deep in the light of his glory.
Sing once more.
Jesus died, the Word, the God.
It's everything about sweetness of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's sing. Maybe Sister Kim will come. We can sing maybe some chorus. There is that I love him, I love him. It's he. Because he first loved me, I can love him, brother, sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. And even just my son. Thing is to be in the spirit, then all things are well. Amen. 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 It's easy to be out of spirit. Amen. Let's sing that song maybe. John was in the spirit. Amen. Let's stand up. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day.
voice from heaven, and this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah, behold, behold, I live.
See the power when I
down from His glory. Ever living story, my God, Savior came. So sustain musicians, thank you, song leader, thank you everyone. What a blessing to have such nice item song. God bless you, Sister Kimberly. It was such a blessing. Sister Ruth, God bless you. Sister Shaddai, God bless you. We are so blessed today with nice songs, you know. And my heart really got, you know, shaken when I seen these young ladies. You know, it's a blessing to see it, almost a teenager or young ladies in this age coming from far, from India, is it? But still loving the Lord, you know. Not having a dad or a mom to look after them, to watch over them, but they are still testifying that communion they've experienced with the Lord. Amen. So I'm just praying when I was listening that I have a small daughter. I pray that the Lord should keep her so that she grow up to be the same, to follow the same footsteps. Amen. Amen. Yes. So should it be for all the brethren and the young ones that growing up, they should keep this testimony. Amen. Amen. Recently, I was in Turkey. You know, I found a young man there. He loves so much the Lord that he came to my hotel room one day asking me, "Brother, can you pray for me because I want to serve the Lord?" He lives alone there. His parents are back in Africa. He stays there, but he so much wants to serve the Lord. He came, we spent the evening in my room praying that God should help him serve him, you know. So it's just a good testimony to see. And we pray that God should grant us his needs. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for being back in your presence once again to
to share your word. Bless your people. Bless every single item that has been sung, O Lord. There's many ways you can minister to us, O Lord. Through the singing, our souls have been blessed, and bless the singers, O Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, take control of the service as we are getting ready, preparing to come into your presence to partake of this communion. You give us what it needs to be ready, O Lord. Prepare us, prepare our hearts, prepare us to hear your word and to get into that intimate communion with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. And then we're going to read Job 19, 23 to 25. First Hebrews 9. But Christ being come on high, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Job 19, 23 to 25. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Amen. You may be seated. So we're trying to keep it short, because we know we have been there since morning. We have a topic this afternoon. If you can give me the slides. Fellowship by redemption. Amen. We are going to talk about communion, actually, because we are getting ready to approach the table. So we are going to see what communion is exactly. So from the beginning, we know that our Lord likes communion. Our God wanted communion with someone because he was himself, he was alone in the beginning. But he found that it was not good to be alone. He wanted to fellowship with someone. He wanted to share whatever he had with someone. So from the definition of the word itself, communion, from the Greek, the word is koinonia, which means intimate relationship. Amen. Communion is an intimate relationship, is an internal affinity and likeness. It's also defined as an intercourse between two people or more. So the notion of communion itself is a very deep notion. Amen. Because we almost many times we take communion only as the bread and the wine that we are going to take. But communion goes beyond that. Communion is something deeper, something more, you know, more beyond what we think. It's an intimate relationship. It's an affinity. It's a likeness. Amen. Or an intercourse. From the Latin now, they came, because in the Bible, when they wrote the Bible, it was in Greek. The word that they used was that one, koinonia. But our language, French and English and all the Latin-derived language, we took it from Latin, which is communionem. I don't know if I pronounce it well. It's from that word that the word communion and community came. Amen? It came from that Latin word, which means communion is made out of these two words, common and union. Amen? Something in common bringing you into a union, into a unity. And community is a common in unity. So all these words derive from that Latin root, which is communionem, which means fellowship. So the word communion or fellowship is the same thing. From its root, it means the same thing. It means a mutual participation. You are all partaking to one thing. It means a sharing. You share the same thing. It also means what is common, a union in religion, worship, doctrine, or discipline. So we see from the definition, it implies having something in common. It implies some likeness. You can't fellowship with someone if you don't have something in common. Fellowship implies first to have something in common. I've seen people fellowshipping around many things that I can't fellowship. I'm taken as an intruder if I get into that conversation because I don't have something in common with them. At work, I had a friend who was a Liverpool supporter. You know, sometimes we could be stuck in a project. I want his input so that I can finish the project. But when you see a fellow Liverpool man comes, they start talking about Mohamed Salah, you know. They talk about money, they talk about Mignolet, which I don't know. They talk about Anfield. I say, man, come on, I want to finish that project. But for me, it was strange because they were having a fellowship around something that was common to them. I needed to be in the common spirit with them so that I can partake to the same fellowship. But since I was not in that spirit, I was not a member of the fellowship. So we need to have some kind of likeness. We need to have something that we can share in common to have a communion. Amen. Amen. So as we approach the table, we need to see exactly what communion means to us. Amen. Our Lord, our God, who is the source, the fountain of communion itself, at the beginning, he was lonely. Amen. But he didn't find it good to be alone. That's why he went on to create, amen, because he wanted to share something he had with someone. So that's why he went on to start the creation. But when he started creation, the prophet says he created first angels. Amen. He created first angels. But by creating angels, he couldn't have communion with them. Amen. Because if he could have communion, he could have stopped there. But he found that he couldn't have communion. The only thing the angels did, they made him become God. Yes. Amen. Because he was Elohim, the self-existing one. Amen. Up until he created angels, they started worshiping him, he became God. Amen. But the angels were not on his likeness. They were not people that he could commune with. He couldn't share everything he had with angels because they were not created after his likeness. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. So he was not happy. He was not satisfied. He had to carry on with his creation because in him was that root of oneness, was the root of communion, of fellowship. So he wanted something that when he goes, he could share. He could commune, become one with. He could have that oneness with. So what did he say? At some stage he said, let's create man on our image and after our likeness. Amen? Amen. So he wanted something that should be like him. When he looked into man, he could see his likeness. Then he could have communion. Amen? Amen. Communion started only when he created man. Amen. He didn't create angels on his likeness. He created man after his likeness. Amen. He started now communing, fellowshipping with man. And what was happening there? In that fellowship, Adam was at rest. Amen? In that fellowship, Adam was at rest, and every morning, every evening, God could come. He was leaving heaven because the angels were there. He couldn't commune with them. He would come to the garden and meet with Adam and have that fellowship with him. He was happy. And what was Adam doing? He was just drawing from that fellowship. The more he was in fellowship with God, the more he was God himself. The more he was a Superman, because Adam was not, though we are after Adam, but Adam in his first nature, in his initial perfect nature, he was not like us. It's fall that brought him to be like us. But he was at rest, at perfect rest, and he was like God himself. That was the perfect communion that was between Adam and God. Amen.
Amen.
What happened? We know all. Sin came. Amen. And that cycle was broken. Amen.
Amen.
But God still wanted communion. So he didn't stop there. Excuse me. It's a quiet war.
Amen.
He didn't stop there. Communion had to continue. But that communion shouldn't continue between a perfect God and a man who was in sin. There was no way that perfect God would commune with a fallen man. Because communion was based on likeness. Amen? Because that likeness was broken, communion was also broken. Amen? But God had to find a way to restore that likeness. Amen? So that's why he found a way. He said, no, they are not like me. They've fallen. They can't come by themselves back to my likeness. But I have to restore, I have to establish a temporary likeness. Amen? He had to restore, to establish a temporary likeness between him and us. What did he do? He became sin. Amen? Because communion is based on likeness. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be something in common to commune. We couldn't come back to where he was, to perfection. So him had to become sin and establish a temporary communion. Are you with me?
Amen.
So he came down, became man like us, and communion was established between him and us. But his aim was not to remain on that basis of that temporary likeness. He came down so that he could restore that perfect communion that we had in the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
But to bring us back to the beginning, to that perfect communion, he had first to establish that temporary communion so that when we become like him, amen? Because what we know from him is that he has that ability, he has that capacity of self-restoration. Amen?
Amen?
He could fall from his perfection, come down in sin, but he was not like us, die in sin. He knew, if I leave my glory, I can go down, become like them, partake to sin like them, but I have the capacity of self-restoration. So when I restore that temporary communion with them, when I self-restore myself, since I become one with them, I can restore them. Amen?
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
So that's why he came, and that's what redemption was all about. Redemption was him becoming us, restoring that union. That's why he could say, Father, I have the scripture here. I can't quote it by head. John 10, 17 to 18. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He had that ability to lay down his life, become sin with us, but take it back again. By becoming sin with us, he established communion with us. When he take it back, he can pull us up with him. No man take it from me, but I lay it down on of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Yes. Amen. He says it again somewhere. When he was in sin, he left his glory. He became sin like us. He became to our likeness. But at some stage, he said, Father, restore me the glory that I had with you at the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because he left that glory just to come and restore that communion. But it was not his destiny to stay in that condition of sin. Father, restore the glory that I had with you in the beginning. Amen. So that was the aim of him coming on earth, to restore that communion. So if we are approaching this table today, we need to know the basis on which we are approaching. The basis is what we are going to talk, to try to develop tonight, this afternoon or evening. So we see from the definition, we saw that communion is an intimate relationship, is an intercourse. Amen. And in something that is intimate, it implies that you become one. It's an intercourse. And in an intercourse, to become one. Amen. So, when he came now on earth to restore that communion, he symbolized it by giving them a piece of bread and a piece of wine, some wine. And he said to them, this is my blood, eat it.
Amen.
This is my body, eat it. And this is my blood, drink it. There was now a sense of him giving himself. It was not only an intercourse of some parts of him or some external part of himself, but he was coming now in a union of a portion of himself, giving it to you, not to keep in your pocket, but you to eat, so that you can become what he is, because you become what you eat. Amen.
Amen.
You become what you eat. No one today can say to me that if you open his belly, we'll find all the bananas and the potatoes and everything that he ate since he was a baby. Amen. Where is it? It has become you. Amen. All the food, the drinks, the bread, everything you have eaten, we can't find it anywhere if we open. But they have just become one with you. So when he gave them that portion, that piece of bread to eat, he was showing physically that I want to become back to that oneness. You eat and swallow it, and it become part of you. Amen. In a natural intercourse, excuse me, we are in a mixed audience. Someone gives a portion of himself, and the person who receives it, that becomes part of him. Amen. It's a union that no one can divide anymore. Amen.
Amen.
So it was symbolized by that bread. So what you eat is what you become. But notice, we are going to rush because we don't want to keep you long. Notice when he came, that bread and wine that he gave to them, it was not the first time that Jesus was giving out bread and wine to people. Amen? It was not the first time. If you read the scriptures, you know the scripture, he multiplied bread. Amen? And he blessed it, and he told the disciples, give them to eat. Amen? At the party at Cana, at the wedding party, he changed water into wine, isn't it? And he gave to people to drink. Amen? So it was not the first time that Jesus was giving out bread and wine. And in this occasion, Because we know Jesus was observing the Jewish culture, the Jewish customs. This was not his first Passover. He had always had Passovers. He was coming to Jerusalem many times to celebrate Passover. And he was drinking wine and eating bread, and probably he was giving out as well. This was not the only time that Jesus gave out bread and wine. But why this time he calls it his body and his blood? Because when he multiplied it, he didn't say, "This is my body." When he changed water into wine, he didn't say, "This is my blood." But this particular time, he said, "This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink." Why? You see, the people to whom he gave this time were the people that had the revelation of who he was. They were the people that followed him all over his ministry. They started somewhere. They followed him. Many things came, ups and downs. Some left. Some came. Some were following just to eat some bread. Some came just to be healed from their sickness. Some came just for multiple reasons. That's why when he was in the outside, in the open there, he couldn't say, "This is my body, this is my blood," because it implied a certain intimate relationship. Amen. Some came, as we heard this morning, they just wanted some entertainment. They just wanted to be seen walking with Jesus. They just wanted to have you to take from his reputation. That's why in the open there, he couldn't give them that blood and that body. But in this special occasion, he brought them within, behind closed doors. This communion, we say it's an intimacy. It's happening behind closed doors. He didn't say, "This is my body and this is my blood," when he was in the open there. At the wedding at Cana, he didn't say, "This is my blood, this is my body." Because it was not something intimate. They didn't get the revelation exactly of who he was. They didn't serve him. They didn't minister to him. But this one especially, they followed him all over through his ministry. They served him. They ministered to him. They forsake everything. They forsake their jobs, their businesses, their fathers, their mom. They forsake everything, and they were following him. Amen. That's how even Peter asked, "Master, now that we have forsaken everything, what will we receive?" It took them to make something. It took them to give up something. As we heard this morning, it takes sacrifice. That communion implies you to abandon your own self. That communion implies you to take away, to forsake everything that is for a certain value to you. It's only when you have shown that you are willing to drink that cup that will bring you into that intimacy. He brought them behind closed doors. And behind those closed doors, what was happening? He started now revealing himself in a different way than the way he revealed himself in the public. Amen. Amen. Behind those closed doors, he revealed an aspect of himself which was different. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me? They could see him in a way that they've never seen him before. He started speaking things that they didn't hear in the open, because it took them to enter in the closed doors. Over there, there was, you know, the mixed multitude. Everybody came with his own agenda. Maybe I want to be the prime minister when he's going to overthrow the Romans. Someone came with an agenda like that. Another one maybe came with an agenda, you know, we may start charging people for the healing services. You know, so when we get a lot of money, I'll start going, you know, into the Greeks, countries, to the here and then advertising about him and me becoming his accountant. There was a lot of agenda behind. He couldn't reveal himself there. He couldn't show the full revelation of what he was. But when they went behind closed doors, he did something. In John 13, can we read it? When they were locked behind, shut in with him, that nobody could see what was happening, it was a hidden revelation. Amen. For this big steps, God needs to bring you in a closet with him. That's why the third pool is not in the open. The prophet had to enter into the tent to see the greater things that God wants to do. For you to see, for John to see the bigger things that had to come, the Lord said to him, come up higher.
Amen.
In a higher communion. Amen. John 13, 3 and 4. Jesus, knowing that the Father, this is happening while they were behind the closed doors, in that room, while the communion was taking place. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. I don't know if you have noticed something there. He laid aside his garments. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He took off his garments. Amen.
Amen.
Behind those closed doors, he couldn't take off his garments in the outside.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how far he went. Amen. Don't ask me that. The Bible says he took off his garments. He laid aside his garments so they could see some parts of his body that they couldn't see in the outside.
Amen.
Amen. It was an intimate somewhere now. He took off his garments. Now, you people see what I am. That's why in Revelation, it is written that on his thigh, he had his name written, the word of God.
Amen.
Nobody can see your thigh except your wife. Amen.
Amen.
Because you have to be behind those closed doors. It was somewhere where he could take off his garments and reveal an aspect of himself that was not known of the outside.
Amen.
That's where the true communion is happening.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the true communion is about. Because it's an intercourse is about to take place. Amen.
Amen.
He unveiled himself because an intercourse, an intimacy is about to happen. That's why they were there and he revealed himself fully to them. They were now ready to become one with him. They were not, he was not now ready to give himself to them. He can't give himself to them while he was clothed. He had to unclothe himself, show a better, a bigger portion of himself to them. Then they could enter that perfect communion. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what communion is about. He came so that he could bring us. And you know, we are talking about communion on the other side of perfection. On this side of perfection. It had to happen on this side of perfection so that since he is perfect, when we are united with him in imperfection, with his ability to self-recover, when he recover his perfection, he will bring us with him.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the meaning of this ceremony that we are going to do tonight. If you are not united with him in your imperfection, don't expect anything from what you are going to do. It's just going to be a ceremonial. It won't be anything good. Jesus could have given them that bread because they ate that bread with him many times. But they had to go through a certain process. Peter had to receive the revelation of who he is. You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. They had to go through all that, overcome all the obstacles that came that way. People left, people mocked, people insulted him many, but they were there following. It's only after they've overcome, they've gone all the way, then he could reveal himself, give themselves a piece of bread to eat so that they could become one with him. That's the significance of what we are going to do tonight, this afternoon. So if you have not made that step yet of becoming one with him, if you have not made that step yet of getting into that intimacy with him, going all the way, forsaking yourself. Because communion, you need to have something in common. And what he wants you to have in common with him is the word. Communion must happen first in the spiritual realm. That word must be in you first. Then you can express it by the attributes of the communion. The outside attribute of communion, what we are going to do. But it must show that something is happening, something has happened within you. Amen. So that's why the prophet in this ceremony says, I don't know if I have the quotes. And then he's speaking about a man. Get him in connection with his maker. He becomes a superman almost. When you get in connection with your master, you become a superman because he is a superman. Adam in the beginning was a superman. Amen. Don't think about Adam as you and me. It was the result of fall. But that perfect Adam was a superman because he's the son of God. He becomes acquainted with his master, with the creator of all things. And then when that man there, acquainted with his maker, becomes a part of his maker, becomes back into fellowship with his maker, every divine word becomes a living reality to him. And he believes it. Do you believe the word of God? Because that's the base, the foundation upon which we are building this fellowship, this communion. That intimacy must happen based on the word of God. You reuniting with your master who is the word of God. Otherwise, there's no common ground. Otherwise, there's no likeness. And since there's no likeness, there's no ground for you to commune with him. But when our body becomes in tune with God, you see the words that are being used here. It's just portraying that intimacy, that oneness. Your body is not talking here about your soul or your spirit. It's talking about your body becoming in tune with God. Because sometimes we say it's only spiritual. Our union with God is spiritual. Of course, it's spiritual. But that spirit to be fed, it needs ears to hear the word of God. It needs to be brought to church. And who is bringing that spirit, that soul to church is this body. So that this body must be submitted, must become in tune with God. Your body must become a part of him. Amen. Amen. Don't spiritualize everything, you know. And many times just say, oh, you know, God doesn't look at the outward. He looks the inward part of me, yes. But the body, the prophet says, must become part of it. Because if the word is in the inside, from the inside, the word must start submit all your being. From the inside, it will start to bring your spirit to submission and even your body. That's why the taste of your body will change. When you let him inside, when you come to that perfect communion, it will even influence your body. He says, your body becoming a part of him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit. When your body becomes part of him, then your soul can pick up the power of his Spirit. To vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead. He lives among us today. Amen. Amen. And he wants fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. He wants fellowship back with his people again. Amen. He wants communion back with you again. And that communion is spiritual first. That communion is you locking your soul in that closet, with him, becoming one with him, him revealing himself to you. His great majesty, his glory is now spreading forth, and he's desiring to fellowship again with his people, like he did in the Garden of Eden. Amen.
Amen.
So, when he comes, him becoming one with you, you become partaker of everything that he is. You won't have to struggle anymore. You won't have to fight anymore to overcome. Adam, at the beginning, when he was in that perfect union, Adam was at rest. Amen?
Amen.
When you enter that fellowship, you enter in his perfect rest. Amen?
Amen.
It's a relationship based on, I've done it all. You just come and enjoy. You won't struggle anymore to overcome. That's why the prophet said, Christian life is based upon rest. Come unto me, you that labor and have heavy laden. I will give you what? I will give you rest. Amen.
Amen.
So Christian life, when you receive him, when you enter into that fellowship, you enter his rest.
Amen.
I've done it all. You just come and enjoy.
Amen.
And you know the Hebrew word for rest. What is it? Sabbath. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you enter into him, you enter Shabbat.
Amen.
You are in an eternal Sabbath. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why when he was on earth, he didn't care whether it was Monday, whether it was Saturday, whether it was Sunday, he could tell the person, take up your bed and leave. You know why they killed him? One of the reasons they killed Jesus. Let's read it. John 5. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and say so to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. But Jesus answered them, my father worked. How do you read that? Hitherto, is it? Sorry for my English, okay? And I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal to God. Amen?
Amen.
They wanted to kill him because he was profaning their Sabbath. But they didn't know, but the person of the Sabbath himself was walking the street of their town.
Amen.
That's why he could say, take up your bed and walk. Because himself, but because if there was no rest in him, in other words, if there was no Sabbath in him, he couldn't say, come unto me and I'll give you Sabbath. Amen. Because he was the master, of that eternal rest. That's why Adam was at rest in the garden. Because in him was the essence of that eternal rest.
Amen.
That's why it didn't matter. When you enter into him, my brother, you enter that day of rest.
Amen.
That's why the prophet say, in him there's the millennium and the eternity. And millennium is the seventh. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Millennium is the seventh day. And in him is that millennium. Amen. So when you enter into Jesus, you enter the millennium. You leave your Sabbath. Amen. You leave your Shabbat. Amen. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I don't know even why I'm talking about it. Amen. I was talking about communion. Amen. But that communion brings you into that rest. You are resting of your, all your works. You come into fellowship with him. You become one with him. And once you have established that fellowship with him, then that perfect fellowship will be restored. Because on this time of perfect, on this side of perfection, you want to become one with him. Because he came to restore perfection in sin. Sorry. To restore communion in sin. So that when you become one with him in sin, because he had become sin, but not only he had become sin, he had that magic wand that he can turn and move from sin to perfection. Amen. And when it gets from sin to perfection, since you had become one with him, you are brought back to perfection.
Amen.
That's what communion is about.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are going to close. The prophet says, amen. But, no, this one I read. You could tell me what a great guy Brother Neville was in the same sermon. I think I have it there. Yeah. How fine a man he was. If I just heard that, that's all right, I believe it. Oh, sure, I believe it. But I'll never know personally until I fellowship with him a while. Till we sit down at the table together, look across the table and lay our hearts out before each other. And our spirits begin to blend together. That's what fellowship is about. That's what communion is about. I can't say I know Brother Shepherd until I can sit with him, which has never happened. Sorry, brother. In this body yet. We'll plan it, brother, okay? Until I sit with him, then I know that Brother Shepherd likes his tea with no milk and one sugar. Amen.
Amen.
Otherwise, I could bring him a tea with seven sugars and a lot of milk in it. Brother, despite all my love for him, he will say, brother, thank you, but I won't take your tea. You have seen my need. You want to minister to my need, but you don't know me. You have never sat with me.
Amen.
You have never shared. Amen. You have never shared that intimacy with me to know what I like. You have to sit with him at the table and look at each other. Your heart blends together. Now you have that common interest. Now you can speak the things that put you together. Amen.
Amen.
Then I about know what is made up. Now the prophet brings it to our Lord. You might hear of Jesus by preaching. You might hear your mother say he's wonderful. You might hear a minister say he heals the sick. And he might have sent his power forth and healed you. You can say that. Lord, you can even heal people, the sick. You can have a great experience. Say, you know, I know the Lord since I was in my mother's womb. Because my mother, when she was pregnant, the pastor prayed for the pregnancy. Amen. So you have some connection with God and you are right. But have you had a fellowship with that God? Have you met personally that God, sat with him at a table, ate with him, get your hearts to blend together? But you'll never know what it is until you've sat down once with him in fellowship. and your spirit blend together, bearing record with each other that you are sons and daughters of God. Then all things pass away. You don't have to worry about the world anymore. That's what communion is about. Amen. Communion is also, we have seen in the definition, common in unity. Amen. It's common in unity. It makes us a community. Amen.
Amen.
Communion makes us a community. And if this sister has made that personal contact with the Creator, I have made that personal contact. I like it when the pastor says, if all the instruments are tuned to one instrument, they are all tuned together. They are all in tune. If we use this to measure our standard, and we bring the guitar, we tune it according to this. We bring the piano, we tune it according to it. If all the instruments are tuned to this standard, automatically they are tuned all together. They are all on the same tone. Amen. So if every one of us has made that personal communion, have got into that personal communion with Jesus, we become a community. There's no barriers anymore. There's no Shona and Debeles, amen, anymore. There's no Ashantis and what? Okay, Wahoos, is it? Amen. There's none anymore. There's no Zulus and Xhosa, is it? Amen. We are all together. We become one. You won't be, you know, you won't be troubled. You won't be, you won't have any jealousy seeing your brother succeeding.
Amen.
Seeing your sister achieving. Amen. It will make you happy. Amen. You won't be there wishing that something wrong happened to your brother. Amen. You are there watching, listening. Oh, how is he doing? Oh, is anything going bad with him? No. Because if you are really tuned with him, and your sister is tuned with him, your desires, your needs are common.
Amen.
Her happiness makes you happy.
Amen.
Her sadness makes you sad.
Amen.
Amen. That's what communion is about.
Amen.
You uniting with him. And when all we are united with him, we become common in unity. Amen.
Amen.
We become a community.
Amen.
And as a community, we are happy when one of the member of the community is happy. We are sad when one of the community is sad.
Amen.
You'll pray for your brother. You'll pray for your sister. You'll carry your burdens for each other because you have established that community.
Amen.
So when we come, when you approach the table this evening, this afternoon, just bear it in mind. Enter that intimacy. Enter behind that closed door with him. Are you sure that he has revealed himself? Have you seen him taking off, laying off his garments, and revealing that portion, that aspect of him that the outside have never seen? Have you seen his name on his thigh? Are you sure you can say yes? Because he has written it somewhere for you to see, you have to enter that intimacy. God bless you.
Just at lunchtime, we'd been having a talk with Sister Kim. It was really interesting. And so I asked her, I said, what would you like to see at the camp? And she said, well, I'm a Seventh Adventist, so I'm so interested in the Sabbath, if someone can explain to me about the Sabbath. And then Brother Elikim said, I don't know why I'm saying these things, and he was on the issue of the Sabbath. And Brother Dave and I were looking at each other saying, this is really, the Lord's leading in this conversation, you know. So we thank the Lord for that. Thanks for the word, brother. That's wonderful. I'm sure every one of us wants a closer intimacy and union with him. It's like them on the way to Emmaus. It's only when they took him into their house and they shut the door and then he broke bread with them. And then their eyes were opened and they understood, they realized really who it was that they had been walking with. All the time they'd been in church, they never really realized who he was. On the way, in the road, they never really realized. But when he got them shut in with him and they closed the door, you know, and then he came. And even with the disciples as well, only when they shut themselves in, then he appeared in their midst and he showed himself, I'm the resurrection. You know, and I'm showing you the fulfillment of all the things that I've spoken to you of. So it's such an important principle, and especially on the tent vision. You know, because on the tent vision, the third pull, the prophet says, but how will this operate? And the pillar of fire left the prophet and went down in that little room. And the prophet says, but I don't understand. And then the voice said to him, did not our Lord say, when you pray, shut yourself in the closet, and your Father would see it in secret shall reward you openly. So friends, there's something about that hidden place, that secret place of the Most High. So we really do thank the Lord for his word. Let's stand. Let's read a communion scripture, saints, before we come to the breaking of bread. It's always a blessing to take communion. Let's read from Matthew 26. From verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So let's bow our heads, saints. Let's just take a few minutes to put ourselves before the Lord before we'd approach the table of the Lord. We know the Lord has revealed through Paul the sacredness of what you're about to do. And the Lord, knowing that we are but mortal beings, as we heard today, he came down and took our sins upon himself. And he shed his blood, and he made an atonement for our sins and our transgressions. So why not let's just make sure for a couple of minutes that everything is under the blood, that you may approach this table worthily in him. Let's all come to a short time of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we think back to that sacred night, Lord, when you took the bread and you broke it. Oh, Jesus, if we had been there, what a wonderful thing, how we could never have forgotten such a time, Lord. Oh, Father, but how we thank you, Lord, that personally we can testify of our times of communion with you. When, Lord, in that quietness of things, you've broken the bread unto us. So, Jesus, even upon this day, we thank you for this bread. Father, may you bless it, even as you'd break it, even as you'd partake. Oh, Father, may something move in the spiritual realm. Father, as you partake of these elements, Lord, may you just move our souls deeper. May you just take us further. May there be a deeper unveiling of yourself. And Lord, we thank you for this cup that speaks of your blood. Oh, Father, some of us, we need a touch from you upon this day physically, Lord. We know there's victory in communion. Lord, as we partake of this wine that speaks of your blood. Oh, Jesus, that reminds us of the great conflict, Lord, where, Lord, you spoiled the powers and the principalities, Lord. When, Lord, your blood was shed and you possessed the gate of the enemy, Lord. Even as we drink of this wine, even as it go down into our mortal beings, Lord. Let the virtue, the spiritual virtue behind what these things signify, Lord, for the manifest themselves on our behalf, Lord, we pray. May you bless your people. Oh, Father, and Lord, as we have one loaf that will break, oh, Father, and it'll be divided amongst us, Lord. May, Lord, it just remind us, Lord, of the one grace. Lord, one message, one faith, one body that you've made us all. Father, the communion that you've given unto us, the community, the unity amongst ourselves. May you continue to bless and lead and guide. Father, we appreciate these things. We thank you for every person that's come this afternoon, Lord. Father, may you bless them, Lord. May every person receive their portion bless this service, bless this bread, bless this wine. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's ask Sister Lillian, would you be kind enough, sister, to come and sing for us? It's a real blessing when you do it for us, sister. Musicians, whoever's coming, please, if they could come. And then we'll partake of the bread and the wine.
This is my
Let's just worship the Lord for his grace and his goodness. Imagine where you would be without his blood today. Imagine you'd be so lost, you'd be dead in sin, you'd be confused, you might be in the grave. But it's just his blood, the power of his blood, that reached down to where you were and redeemed you. Let's sing that song, Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's read John chapter 13. We'll just read from verse 12. This is after he's broken the bread, the wine, he washes his disciples' feet, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So, saints, three ordinances left to the church. Next week, Sunday after service, by the grace of God, we've got a water baptism. Our sister Velika is looking to be baptized. We thank the Lord for that. Anybody else looking for baptism, let me know. That's one ordinance. And then communion and foot washing. Only three physical ordinances left for the church. Amen. Everything else has been fulfilled by Christ. Everything else, all the shadows, all the types, all been fulfilled in Christ. But friends, he's given us three things. And blessed are you if you do these things in the right spirit. Amen. So may the Lord bless us. Let's wash one another's feet in Jesus' name. Brothers this side, sisters this side, and may God bless you.
What's the Spirit and the bride say, come. God's voice is calling you personally today. God's voice is calling from heaven. He's saying, come out of all my people, be not partakers of the sins. Who sins have reached heaven?
Come out today. It's a blessing to take communion. Amen. I'm definitely stronger than I was at the beginning. I wasn't feeling well in the morning, but I thank God. There's power in communion, friends. Amen. You just claim your rights. The Lord is good. I really do appreciate the Lord. So everybody has come. May the Lord bless you in this week. Let's keep the youth meetings in prayer. Really do thank everybody who's involved, all the activity taking place. The Lord sees it all. He will bless. I really do believe it's going to be a great blessing. Let's also remember Brother Barry coming the weekend after. We'll give final arrangements of what service we're going to be having. But that's the weekend after the youth meetings. We'll put a full program out. So let's keep that in prayer as well. I think that will already be something very beneficial to us if we draw from the presence of the Lord. So I'm sure that you desire to do it like me. Let's sing one more as we dismiss us. Brother Max, you can come please and pray for us.
We'll finish with that song, I'm Not What I Ought to Be.
Yes.
Let's Amen. Finish with that. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
It's a two-horse race. The black and the white moon. I must keep this race. The choice is yours. The one you feel the most. He will be God, a good work in you.
Let the Lord
is faithful to finish his work. And is true.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
How many appreciate him?
Hallelujah.
Since we came here in the morning time to this hour, it had been all blessings unto us. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Having called us this morning, O God, to your presence, all the doors closed. Oh, Lord Jesus, you've spoken to us like a husband speaks unto the wife in the chambers. And Father, we thank you, having brought us to remembrance. Oh, how you come our way many times, and how we miss you, Lord Jesus. But Father, we thank you that today we have come to that realization. And Father, we are not going to allow that privilege, Lord Jesus, for us to miss it anymore. And Father, we thank you, the Lord, you have revealed yourself to us. And Lord, how God is so good to commune with you. And even Lord, as we have communed with you this afternoon, Lord Jesus, we know that, O Lord, as many that came here sick, even Pastor's last testimony, oh, proves it, O God, that you have healed all the sick amongst us, O God. And even, Lord Jesus, you have met every need that came here this afternoon, Lord. Father, we say thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We want this communion, Lord, to continue, Lord Jesus. And Father, we will forever, oh God, oh, remain in your presence, Lord Jesus. And Lord, seek your face, Lord, in all things, oh, your grace, oh God. Father, we thank you for a place like this, the Lord, you have given to us, that we can come and hear your word of life, oh God. Father, we thank you for the ministers that you used, Lord. Oh, this day, oh God, oh Lord, it has enlightened us. And Father, we are carrying something home, and we will carry them back to our closest, Lord Jesus, and we will continue to commune with you, God. That any time, Lord, we come here, we are already in fire, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, we will come worshiping and praising your name, oh God. Father, we thank you. We give all the glory to you. And Lord Jesus, even as you brought us in safely, oh Lord, we are looking forward for our journey back home. And we believe that, Lord, we will receive the same journey mercies again. Lord, even we remember, oh God, our brethren who are not here this day, the Lord Jesus, wherever they are, it was for a good purpose, but Lord, we believe you have reached them wherever they are, and you have communed with them also, Lord. Father, we commit, Lord Jesus, our precious brother, Max Eugene, also into your hands. The Lord, wherever he is now, Lord, you continue to use him mightily, O God, as he has been of a great, oh Lord, privilege to us here, Lord Jesus. We thank you, we bless you, Lord. Heavenly Father, now we want to lift up our eyes and look unto you.
Yes.
You know the needs of each and everyone here. Father, bless each and everyone. And as even we commit, Lord, the other meetings, Lord, into your hands, the youth meeting that is coming, Father, we pray, the Lord, our main purpose for it, to God, the Lord Jesus, each and every youth, Lord, will meet you, O God, and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, the same also, oh, the meeting that is coming after, O Lord, we commit also into your hands. The Lord, we as families, Lord, we will come to know, Lord, how even you formed the first family and how you always want to commune with them, O God. Father, help us, Lord Jesus, once again. We thank you. We bless you. Take us home safely and let us continue seeking your face in our crosses. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss, Brother Joel. Do you have just a call? Sorry. We ran out of songs here. No, it's good, bro.
My boat of life sails in trouble.
Do not.